My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. At Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. Jason Longshore. This is our weekly show. We cover soccer in Atlanta, all over the Southeast, all over the country, and there's a lot of national team stuff on today's show. All over the world, it's what we do. It's AST. It's every single week, typically Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. Sometimes that'll bounce around a little bit. Sometimes you get some bonus content as well. Make sure you are subscribed to Off the Woodwork, wherever you get your podcasts, or on the Odyssey app. All of our soccer content goes there, like Garth Lagerwey speaking to the Midday Show today after Atlanta United made an announcement. Alexei Maranchuk, the new signing coming from Atalanta. I know, it just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Atalanta to Atlanta. He is the new number 10 in Atlanta. I don't know if he's going to wear that number, actually. He hasn't worn it in his career, so that'll be very interesting. Excited to get to see him in red and black stripes as opposed to blue and black stripes. Looking forward to seeing what he can bring to this team. And Garth Lagerwey was very excited about the addition, as was Carlos Bocanegra, who spoke to the media earlier today. You'll hear from him in just a minute. I kind of wanted to give you a basic introduction to Maranchuk and what kind of player to be on the lookout for. So he's a twin, first off, and yes, it was asked because his twin brother Anton is out of contract if he could be joining him here in Atlanta. And Carlos Bocanegra said they're not looking at that opportunity right now. The two brothers were in Moscow as young players, and they started in the Spartak Moscow youth club, youth academy of the pro club. They didn't make it through because of their size, their physical attributes. The Russian game, and honestly many other games around Europe and around the world, sometimes get a little too hung up on size, on speed, on strength. Maranchuk is not blessed with some of those qualities. What he's blessed with is incredible technique, and he's blessed with a very high soccer IQ, and maybe because he's had to make up some of the differences in speed or quickness or power. He's found ways to make up for that by being incredibly skilled on the ball and being a step ahead of everyone because of that soccer IQ. So didn't stick at Spartak Moscow, went across to Lokomotiv Moscow and broke through there. He debuted at 17 years old with the first team. First goal contributions were in the next month, and he's got a little bit of a knack for scoring on debuts, as Atalanta fans found out. He's played plenty of times in the Europa League. He won it last season with Atalanta. He has played in the Champions League as well. He won tons of titles with Lokomotiv in Russia. His last season there, he scored 12 goals and had 5 assists in 27 games. And he was linked with everybody at that point. So this is the summer of 2020 in the midst of the pandemic. He was linked with Juventus. He was linked with Milan. He was linked with Manchester United and with Barcelona. And Eric Abidal spoke about it a couple of years later, that kind of foray into looking at bringing Maranchuk into Barcelona. And remember, Barcelona at that time was in a very different situation financially, which they're not completely out of now, but they were looking for players that fit their profile, that played their brand of soccer, but also they could get at a reasonable price. Abidal said that they traveled to Moscow. They saw him with Lokomotiv. They spoke with the medical department at Lokomotiv. They were very interested, but they had other midfielders who were on the way at the academy that were similar in profile. So they decided against it, and Maranchuk went to Atalanta instead. The quote from Eric Abidal that kind of stands out to me is, he said, "Maranchuk is intelligent and technically very talented. We wanted him at Barca, but we soon realized that we had that sort of player in the academy with Pedri and with Gavi. Two kind of big names and two very favorable comparisons there," from Eric Abidal talking about Atlanta United's new midfielder, Alexei Maranchuk. So he joined Atalanta in August of 2020, debuted in the Champions League in October, scored his first goal for the club in his debut match in the Champions League, scored in his debut match in Serie A with Atalanta, scored in his debut match in the Coppa Italia with Atalanta. Fascinating that he has had so much success in those debuts. 3 goals and 6 assists in Serie A last year, 4 goals and 12 assists in 42 games in all competitions. He did spend a year on loan at Torino, where he had 4 goals and 7 assists in 2022 and 23. Came back to Atalanta, was just kind of crowded out by the number of players in his position at Atalanta, but playing 42 games, you're going to get some opportunities. And he really came good in the winter time with Atalanta in this past season. January, he was named the club's player of the month, and that was his biggest breakthrough. He led Serie A in expected assists per 90 minutes played, led the league in shot-creating actions per 90 minutes played, 3rd in goal-creating actions, 2nd in assists per 90, 6th in non-penalty expected goals per 90 as well. Had a very, very good year as maybe not the absolute first choice at Atalanta, but played extremely well in one of the top leagues in the world when he had those opportunities. He is now looking for more regular football, and that's going to happen here in Atlanta. And it is a big addition, Atlanta United adding Alexei Maranchuk to the roster. I wanted you to hear what Carlos Bocanegra had to say when asked kind of about the role that he will have. Here's Carlos Bocanegra from speaking to the media this afternoon.
Yeah, so when speaking with him, we talked about him coming in and being an attacking midfielder, more of that number 10 role. He can play off the wing and come inside. He can play kind of anywhere across the front three. He's not really a striker, but he can play anywhere across that front three or underneath the forward. So, he has that ability to be flexible, and we want to give him that space. And, speaking with Rob, kind of how he wants to play as well right now, just letting Alexei have a little bit more of that freedom in the number 10 role, where he can go and find the ball and help drive our attack. So that was really the conversation about how we would look to utilize him here.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. That was Atlanta United Vice President and Technical Director Carlos Bocanegra answering a question from our own Joe Patrick about what to expect in terms of role from Alexei Maranchuk, the Atlanta United new signing. Reportedly, transfer fee in the range of $18 million. Atalanta brought him in for 14.5 million euro in 2020. So they'll get a little bit of a return on their investment. Some of the scouting reports out there on Maranchuk and what he brings to the table. At Atalanta, at times, he struggled because Atalanta play a very high-tempo kind of game. I don't think Atlanta United currently is in that kind of position. But watching some of the highlights of Maranchuk, I think what stands out to me is he plays fast even if he isn't fast. His left foot is outstanding, and left-footed tens are always fascinating to me. A lot of times we see lefties, you know, at left back or on the left wing, where they're always on that dominant foot and they're always going wide. It's always interesting to me to have a lefty in the middle of the park. It's not something you normally see. He can play as a winger, as Bocanegra said. He can cut inside. He'd be much more of an inverted winger or inside forward if we want to go in kind of the old school way of breaking down positions. But this is a player who is, in my opinion, able to make up the difference with pure speed, with his technical ability. If you watch him play for a little while, one thing that will stand out is how quick he is in delivering passes, in taking shots. It's not about big windup, big time power. It is about quickness. And it's interesting, like his backlift. So if you're talking about like a golf swing, for example, someone with a very short backswing, that's Maranchuk in the way that he passes and the way that he shoots. It's very short, his backswing, in terms of striking the ball, hitting the ball, putting the ball where he wants. That left foot is magical. The opportunity that he got last season, as all the games piled up for Atalanta, injuries piled up as well, he took every bit of it, and that opened the door for an Atlanta United to see him, who he was already on their board. And Carlos spoke about this. The scouting department had Maranchuk on their list going back to last March. So, of course, as we talk about all the time, you're always preparing for players potentially moving on. In this case, it was Thiago Almada. So who could be next? When everything lines up in this way, Almada gets the opportunity to go, you've already identified a player that you really like to fill it, and then he becomes available. That's why you prepare for these kinds of moves ahead of time. Alexei Maranchuk has been in Atlanta sights for a little while, and he will be joining Atlanta United very, very soon. Hopefully the visa process does not take an extended period of time. The club has discussed visas for Russian nationals with NHL clubs who've had to deal with this. So they will be well prepared to get this done. And it's kind of down to the government and just timelines as opposed to extra things that they can do to get it done. Hopefully in knockout games in Leagues Cup, but more than likely he will be available for the first MLS match against LA Galaxy when the club comes back into league play in late August. Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, we're going to get more into silly season and talk a little bit about strategy of silly season, along with some updated news from around Major League Soccer. You're listening to Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. You get quality. Oh. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and we're talking about MLS and silly season, especially on the heels of Atlanta United's announcement today. Alexi Maranchuk is now part of the Five Stripes. He'll be joining them eminently, hopefully sooner rather than later. You're down to the visa process at this point. Talked about him in the first segment and what he brings to the table. And it kind of leads us into a discussion of silly season and kind of what that means right now in MLS. It feels like every transfer window has a different theme, different feel, especially in this league. And this window, it feels like the year of different approaches. Clubs have the ability to go out and build rosters in different ways. And some of this is down to the new rules changes in Major League Soccer, but it's also down to what's worked and what hasn't worked. And every market is different in this league. This is a league that silly season can take on a different approach because of the salary cap, because of kind of where the league sits in the world landscape. And you'll get 20 different answers if you ask 20 different people around the world about how good Major League Soccer is and where does it rank? You know, is it 6? Is it 12? Is it 25? It's higher than 25. It's probably not quite to 6 yet. So somewhere in between, which is a large range. And that's, one, a credit to the growth of this league. You know, it's easy to forget. This league is still very young when we talk about the landscape of world soccer. It launched in 1996. You could say in a lot of ways that it didn't really become a significant player on the world stage until they signed David Beckham in 2007. There were some additions before that that were big. Roberto Donadoni came over at the very beginning. Jorge Campos, Marco Echeverri from South America. You had some great talented players that came, national team level players. You had a lot of U.S. national team players in the league. 2002 World Cup, that success. MLS is a huge part of it for the U.S. men's national team. But the league started to become a more important player on the global scene when Beckham walked in the door, because I think some of the clubs, some of the ownership groups saw that this is a league where these deals can do big business for your club. Now, can every club in Major League Soccer get into that big business? No, probably not. You know, Lionel Messi goes to Miami. Thierry Henry went to the New York area with the Red Bulls. You know, Antoine Griezmann is being linked to Los Angeles now with LAFC. Olivier Giroud is now at LAFC, as is Hugo Lloris. Those players are probably not going to go to Minnesota. They're probably not going to go to Austin. They're probably not going to go to Real Salt Lake. Can those three clubs that I just mentioned, can they be successful? Absolutely, they can be successful. They just have to do it in a different way. Two of the most successful clubs over the past year and a half have been Cincinnati and Columbus. I don't think Lionel Messi would have picked either one of those cities out on a map when he decided to come to Major League Soccer. Neither would a lot of top European players. When you talk about players looking at the United States and coming to this league, they're going to look at the big major markets and the cities that they know. Atlanta's kind of in a unique spot because it's kind of known, but not completely known, but it is known. So you can get some different attention. I think what Atlanta United's done as a club with the fan base, with the stadium, with everything, that's going to turn some heads and bridge some gaps as well. But back to Cincinnati and Columbus, they've done things differently and they've built rosters that fit the way that they want to play. And this is a very important step in this because Columbus probably can't compete to get an Antoine Griezmann to put them over the top, for example. But they can go get a Cucho Hernandez, and he is coming from the Premier League, and he is a player who has been an outstanding star in this league, and now it sounds like he's being rumored potentially to leave Columbus, which could get very interesting. Taylor Twellman kind of teased that on his social media accounts. Not sure where that stands, but if somebody offers Columbus over $18 million, might be hard to say no, especially if the player wants to make that move. So, MLS and silly season. Just keep in mind right now, this window, the summer window for Major League Soccer, the summer window for the Northern Hemisphere, the winter window for some of your South American countries, this is the busiest window worldwide, mainly because the major European leagues are going out and adding players for their upcoming seasons. They have the most money to spend. They're doing the most business. MLS is heavily involved in what's going on right now, silly season-wise, both internally and with some of those players. I mentioned Antoine Griezmann. This is a fascinating one for LAFC if they go and complete that triumvirate of French top players with Lloris, with Giroud, and then adding Griezmann. Yes, he's 33. He's still an incredible talent. And when you do what LAFC and Miami have done, and they go and they get legends of the game, I think it's fair to say. But yes, guys who are a little bit older, but they're at a level that only a few clubs in this league can touch. Okay, you have to supplement that with top talent around it, up-and-coming talent, young talent, like Denny Bouanga, like Federico Redondo in Miami. You got to develop players as well. You got to get something out of your academy. You got to get something out of finding guys at young ages and developing them. Benjamin Kremaski, Nathan Ordaz for LAFC is starting to break through. You have to do all of that. You can't just go sign older players and have an older team. Can't do that because of the way the salary cap is structured. Miami's kind of tested some of that this year. Speaking of Miami, there is news tonight from Tom Bogert of Give Me Sport that Brighton is ready to spend $18 million to bring in Diego Gomez, the Paraguayan international. They will let him finish out the season in MLS before bringing him in the winter window. And you're going to have that possibility pop up a little bit more as some European clubs at this stage, if they bring a player in, preseason is a few weeks in at this point. They might feel like the player, after dealing with visas and work permits and all of those sorts of things, they might be better off to finish the MLS season if you're looking at an MLS talent. Georgi Mihailovic went through this with his move to the Netherlands, and we'll talk a little bit more about Georgi Mihailovic in the 3-4-3. Sometimes you're going to see some clubs say, you know what, stay where you're at, finish the season out, do well, and then we'll bring you in mid-season, and you will hit the ground running then. So I did talk about Columbus and Cincinnati and how their approach has been different. Columbus is in the news tonight as well. Caleb Pongratz reported this news first out of New England. DeJuan Jones being traded by the New England Revolution to the Columbus Crew in exchange for Will Sands and allocation money. Columbus has been one of the top teams in Major League Soccer ever over a year and a half span. They've been that good. And they're going out, and their biggest move in the summer window might be this one, adding in DeJuan Jones, giving them a true left-sided wing back who can defend at a high level but can also get forward in the way that Wilfred Nancy wants that team to do. That could make them even more dangerous. You know, they've played Yael Yeboah on that side a good bit, for example. Yeboah is more of a winger playing as a wing back. Defensively can be a little bit of a liability. You get DeJuan Jones on that side and you get Mo Farsi on the other side, that team immediately becomes better defensively, and you don't lose anything attacking-wise either. Columbus getting better with the internal market, making a trade. Is that something Atlanta United could look at? Could be interesting, because I think the later you get in the window and clubs who have looked to add players from the outside, if they haven't been able to do so, there are some good players in the league that will be available for trade. Also, clubs that have added players, they're going to be players that are then expendable. So keep in the lookout on that trade market inside of MLS. It's Atlanta Soccer tonight. We're talking about silly season, the transfer window, and what that could mean. I'm Jason Longshore. I wanted to talk a little bit more just about how this league has grown. You look at the top 10 teams in the Supporter Shield standings this season. Cincinnati, they won the Supporter Shield last year, kind of along Columbus's style of build. RSL, Red Bulls, Colorado, Vancouver, none of them are going out to get an Antoine Griezmann kind of player, but they've all done things in a way that's closer to Cincinnati and Columbus than to LAFC and Miami. Colorado has done a very good job of bringing in players who didn't fit in other places, Georgi Mihailovic being one of those, but also really work in the trade market. Vancouver has brought in guys that you don't really know a whole ton about and have succeeded with them. Ryan Gauld being the biggest name of that group. Brian White was an internal trade inside the league. Red Bulls did spend a little bit more this time around on Emil Forsberg, and he helps put them over the top. But you're not talking about a legend like a Griezmann or a Messi, and you're not talking about a $15 to $20 million player either. RSL, they went out and they got Chicho Arango from Mexico after he had such great success at LAFC and they didn't need a new deal. And he's transformed that attacking group, and they've added great pieces around him with Diego Luna, who they brought in from El Paso Locomotive, for example, from a lower division team, and Andres Gomez, who has been outstanding and really flies under the radar for RSL. The new rules changes, they really make teams think about how they want to build a roster. They bring a little more strategy into it for me. And the one element that jumped out to me when these were announced in the previous weeks, if you sell players that you develop, guys who aren't designated players, so these are non-designated player outgoing transfers, if you sell those players for good amounts, you can then add, if you do all of the MLS rules, and it's probably too much to explain in terms of recouping initial spend and salary spent, all these things. Caleb Wiley fits into this category, where Caleb Wiley, you sell him to Chelsea for over $10 million. You're able to add $3 million to your salary cap in general allocation money. You can use that in a variety of ways. You can use it, as Garth Lagerwey has explained, you can use that to buy down the acquisition costs that will hit the cap next year on Bartosz Szlich, which would free up a designated player spot where you can go and then spend whatever you want, as long as you're able to fit the maximum cap hit for a DP under your cap. You can use that to go get a couple of guys in the salary cap that would fit underneath and fit into your roster to $1.5 million guys, for example. It gives you flexibility. I think younger players around the world still see this league as one that can be a stepping stone to bigger things. There is going to be a market for that, and there's going to be some clubs that will go down that road. Garth Lagerwey's talked about Atlanta United not looking to go down that road exclusively as they have in the past, where they've made a lot of money in the transfer market. They're looking at players who are going to be here for a little while. They're looking at those prime age players that are going to make Atlanta a home for a little while. There's also a bigger attraction to established players in MLS than there ever has been before. A player like Alexi Maranchuk, players like an Antoine Griezmann, players like that that are very good at the top of their game still, whether you're talking about a late 20s or an early 30s, this league has a greater sense of attraction than it has ever had in its history. Lionel Messi is a big part of that. These other stars coming to this league, big part of that. The World Cup coming to this country, big part of that. This is a league where you can have big, big names thrive in, play at a good level, even if it's not the same level as the very best of the very best in Europe. But big names can play here and thrive. Young players can develop here and thrive. It's a fascinating exercise in how you build a roster. And as you know, we went through a lot of talk about LAFC and Miami, and they are both outstanding clubs and doing very well on the field. LAFC might become the favorite to win MLS Cup if they add Antoine Griezmann. These other clubs, Columbus, they won it last year. Cincinnati, they won Supporters Shield last year. RSL is as good as anybody you'll find in the league this year. Red Bulls are dangerous. Colorado and Vancouver are having great seasons. You can do different things. LA Galaxy, who I didn't get into, kind of a hybrid, where they added some bigger names, but not those established guys like they have in the past. Joseph Paintsil, Ricky Pooch, two incredibly talented players that fit what they want to do. It's all about having that plan. And now there is the ability to have many different kinds of plans around this league. It's a lot of fun to talk about, and silly season will only get sillier with every window to come for Major League Soccer. Coming up next, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. It's the 3-4-3, next in 5 on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Final segment, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me for another Tuesday evening of talking a little bit about soccer in Atlanta, all over the Southeast, all over the continent, and all over the world. But y'all know how we finish the show by now. It's the 3-4-3, and tonight it is brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Number one, Atlanta United 2, a big win on the road in Huntsville on Saturday night, 2-1, both goals from new signing Rodrigo Neri. We had the chance to talk to him after the match, and this is a player who his goal is to make it to the first team. This is a player who spent time with U.S. youth national teams. He developed in Spain at Atletico Madrid and at Valencia, and he's come to Atlanta United 2 for an opportunity. Game 2, two goals, and two nice goals as well. Also, you're going to be able to hear Atlanta United 2 on Saturday night right here on 92.9 The Game. They will host New England. Pre-game coverage will start at 8 o'clock. Kickoff will be just after 8:30. Really looking forward to bringing that one to you live from Kennesaw. Number two on the local side, Caden Moore. He played very well Saturday night, was part of the four 16-year-olds that finished the match out, holding on to the win. He signed his first professional contract last week, joining Atlanta United 2 as a professional through the rest of this season and through next season as a pro, with an MLS homegrown contract available to him in 2026. After the match, we had a chance to catch up with Caden, along with my SDH Network colleagues, John Nelson and Madison Cruz. And I asked Caden about kind of the whirlwind 2024 that he's had. It started with first team preseason in January and has led him to a professional deal. Here's Caden Moore from Huntsville on Saturday night.
What has the ride been like in 2024?
It's been overwhelming, to be honest. So much transition from playing academy, going to GA Cup, just different tournaments. not much rest, but it's been good. There's other center backs like Noah. I've talked to Noah and Afra, and they've been through it before. Yeah. So they just talked me through it, and it's been good.
How helpful is it to have two guys like that that you can lean on, and Matt as well, who had a little bit different experience, that you can lean on as guys to look up to?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. They've been through almost the exact same things I've been through, the ups and the downs. They tell me all the time what they've been through is almost the same exact thing. So just knowing how they turned out and just seeing a light at the end of the tunnel has been really good.
Big future ahead for Caden Moore, left-footed center back who is thriving at the moment with Atlanta United too. Number three on the local side in the 3-4-3, Carly Banks of Peachtree City. She was named to the first ever U.S. futsal women's national team roster. They're currently training in Rome at the Darlington School. Carly was part of Stars Mills state championship winning team alongside Kelly O'Hara. She played this past summer outdoors with SSA in the W League. She coaches at AFC Lightning. She has had a journey that took her to LSU after high school. She was kind of in that gap between the WPS and the NWSL launching. She played professionally in Finland. She has played for a number of teams all over the area. She has coached as well. She also founded Impact Performance Training and has worked with Noah Cobb of Atlanta United alongside many others. Big time congrats to Carly Banks and her journey taking her to that first ever U.S. futsal women's national team roster. All right, four headlines from around the world. A bunch of these are going to be more domestic-based because the U.S. national team programs are having a really good time at the moment. Speaking of Noah Cobb, that's number one. He started this afternoon and helped lead the U.S. U-20 squad to World Cup qualification with a 1-0 win over Guatemala in the CONCACAF U-20 championships. So this is a qualifying tournament for the World Cup that will be next year in Chile. Ruben Ramos of the LA Galaxy, he scored the goal today that won the match. This was a quarterfinal game, and big time credit to the U.S. for finding a way on a day where, frankly, they weren't at their best. Knockout games can get weird. They can get crazy, especially in CONCACAF, as you guys know. But they found their way through it and got it done, and it is a massive amount of credit to them. They'll play in the semifinal, the winner of Panama and Canada. They are scoreless, 0-0 in the 39th minute there. Number two on the headlines, great day for the U.S. youth national teams. The U-23s, the Olympic men's team, advanced to the knockout rounds at the Olympics for the first time since 2000. A 3-0 win over Guinea this afternoon. They'll play Morocco in the quarterfinals on Friday at 9 a.m. in Paris. Kevin Paredes of Wolfsburg, he scored twice. Colorado's Georgi Mihailovic opened the scoring with a beautiful free kick. And look, I know there were a lot of questions about taking Mihailovic as an overage player as opposed to taking Diego Luna of RSL, who has been great this season. I've always loved Georgi Mihailovic's game, and I'm very happy to see him having the success that he had today. This is a top, top player. And yeah, it didn't work out for him in Europe. And he came back to Colorado and he's doing very well there with a team that is in the top 10 in MLS right now, a team that you're not going to want to see when you get to the postseason at all in the Western Conference. And Mihailovic answered some of the critics with that free kick today. So the U.S. lost 3-0 in the opening game to France, who ended up winning the group. Since then, 7 goals, 5 different players, and they've had dominant first half performances. 3 goals in the first 30 minutes against New Zealand on Saturday. 2 goals in the first 30 minutes today against Guinea. Patrick Schulte had 6 saves today as well, and he earned his first Olympic shutout. Great performance from the men's Olympic team. That leads us to number 3 on the headlines, the U.S. women's national team. They've already advanced to the knockout round at the Olympics. They conclude group stage play tomorrow at 1 p.m., where they'll face Australia. Here's Emma Hayes speaking to the media in France ahead of the match about the challenge that they will face against Australia.
These are the games where, for sure, our one game at a time method is something that sticks. They're a team that need a point to qualify. They're a team, those defensive organisation, regardless of the goals they've conceded, you know, a lot have been in transition. They're very organised, they're very compact, very disciplined. In attack, they've got different rotations, create different problems to the team. Unbelievable from set pieces. They really are best in the tournament, I think, with their deliverers. So they pose a massive threat and show what character they have to come from 5-2 down to win against Zambia. So this is a top game.
That Australia-Zambia game, yeah, came back from 5-2 down to win 6-5. That is the chaos that the Olympic soccer tournament has been on the men's and the women's sides. One other bit of U.S. women's national team news today. They will face England at Wembley Stadium in November in a big, big test. Really looking forward to that one. I've liked what we've seen from Emma Hayes' U.S. women's national team. And they only really have a few games under their belt. I think you're going to see this team continue to evolve, and it's going to be a fun watch. Really, really happy to see how well this team is playing, and can't wait for the knockout round games. The U.S. is already there in the Olympics, but a good test tomorrow against Australia. Number four on the headlines tomorrow night at the Benz, Chelsea versus Club America. It's a friendly, it's an exhibition, but here's a few storylines to watch for in this one. On the Club America side, Las Águilas, they started the season in Mexico, 2 wins, 2 draws before the League's Cup break for them. They're going to enter that tournament at the knockout stage. They'll head to Chicago to face Aston Villa on Saturday. Their first League's Cup match in the knockout round will be August 9th. Not sure what the lineup is going to look like for Andre Jardine's group in this one. I think you'll see some rotation. I'd love to see Henry Martin just running at Chelsea in this game tomorrow night at the Benz. Martin, 31 years old, just an incredible player. Still at this stage with Club America. One of those guys that maybe could have gone to Europe, probably should have if the right opportunity had presented itself. I don't know, maybe should have come to MLS to get that launching pad or to be successful in MLS. And he still could come to MLS, by the way. Be a player that I'd love to see in the league. Just an incredible talent. So if he's on the field at any point tomorrow for Club America, you will enjoy it. Chelsea, there's some storylines here. They lost 4-1 to Celtic over the weekend at Notre Dame Stadium. They drew 2-2 with Wrexham last Thursday in California. Enzo Maresca spoke to the media today, and he said the players were still trying to adjust to his style and his tactics. He said, off the ball, we need to improve things. You can see sometimes we confuse when we need to play short and when we need to play a little bit longer, but that's part of the process. We maintained a high line, but when the ball is not under pressure, you need to drop. We're still confusing some things on the ball and off the ball. It's normal in this moment when we're trying to do something new. Okay. The noise is going to get louder the longer bad results are happening against teams like Celtic, no offense, and to Wrexham, again, no offense. And it'll be the same against Club America if they get a result against Chelsea. And again, no offense, like these are good teams, but Chelsea, the expectation is bigger. There's rumors swirling about Atletico Madrid being interested in Conor Gallagher. He has not rejoined the team after England's run at the Euros. Enzo Fernandez has, and according to Maresca and players who spoke to the media today, everything is copacetic with Enzo Fernandez after the chanting when Argentina won the Copa America final that sparked a whole lot of controversy and I think was interpreted in a variety of different ways worldwide. There were Chelsea players who were upset by it, Wesley Fofana being one, and it sounds like players led the process to make amends, and Enzo Fernandez will be welcomed back. He could factor into the game tomorrow. Kieran Dewsbury-Hall could also factor into the game tomorrow. Coming over from Leicester City, he has been injured and he will be available for the first time with Chelsea tomorrow. Could be a good introductory game for Renato Vega as well. Just played a little bit against Celtic. He made the move from FC Basel to join Chelsea.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. Final segment, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me for another Tuesday evening of talking a little bit about soccer in Atlanta, all over the Southeast, all over the continent, and all over the world. But y'all know how we finish the show by now. It's the 3-4-3, and tonight it is brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Number one, Atlanta United 2, a big win on the road in Huntsville on Saturday night, 2-1, both goals from new signing Rodrigo Neri. We had the chance to talk to him after the match, and this is a player who, his goal is to make it to the first team. This is a player who spent time with U.S. youth national teams. He developed in Spain at Atletico Madrid and at Valencia, and he's come to Atlanta United 2 for an opportunity. Game 2. Two goals, and two nice goals as well. Also, you're going to be able to hear Atlanta United 2 on Saturday night, right here on 92.9 The Game. They will host New England. Pre-game coverage will start at 8 o'clock. Kickoff will be just after 8:30. Really looking forward to bringing that one to you live from Kennesaw. Number two on the local side, Caden Moore. He played very well Saturday night, was part of the four 16-year-olds that finished the match out, holding on to the win. He signed his first professional contract last week, joining Atlanta United 2 as a professional through the rest of this season and through next season as a pro, with an MLS homegrown contract available to him in 2026. After the match, we had a chance to catch up with Caden, along with my SDH Network colleagues, John Nelson and Madison Cruz. And I asked Caden about kind of the whirlwind 2024 that he's had. It started with first team preseason in January and has led him to a professional deal. Here's Caden Moore from Huntsville on Saturday night.
What has the ride been like in 2024?
It's been overwhelming, to be honest. So much transition from playing academy, going to GA Cup, just different tournaments. Not much rest, but it's been good. There's other center backs like Noah. I've talked to Noah and Afra, and they've been through it before. Yeah. They just talked me through it, and it's been good.
How helpful is it to have two guys like that that you can lean on, and Matt as well, who had a little bit different experience, that you can lean on as guys to look up to?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. They've been through almost the exact same things I've been through, the ups and the downs. They tell me all the time what they've been through is almost the same exact thing. So just knowing how they turned out and just seeing a light at the end of the tunnel has been really good.
Big future ahead for Caden Moore, left-footed center back who is thriving at the moment with Atlanta United 2. Number three on the local side in the 3-4-3, Carly Banks of Peachtree City. She was named to the first ever U.S. futsal women's national team roster. They're currently training in Rome at the Darlington School. Carly was part of Stars Mills state championship winning team alongside Kelly O'Hara. She played this past summer outdoors with SSA in the W League. She coaches at AFC Lightning. She has had a journey that took her to LSU after high school. She was kind of in that gap between the WPS and the NWSL launching. She played professionally in Finland. She has played for a number of teams all over the area. She has coached as well. She also founded Impact Performance Training and has worked with Noah Cobb of Atlanta United alongside many others. Big time congrats to Carly Banks and her journey taking her to that first ever U.S. futsal women's national team roster. All right, four headlines from around the world. A bunch of these are going to be more domestic based because the U.S. national team programs are having a really good time at the moment. Speaking of Noah Cobb, that's number one. He started this afternoon and helped lead the U.S. U-20 squad to World Cup qualification with a 1-0 win over Guatemala in the CONCACAF U-20 championships. So this is a qualifying tournament for the World Cup that will be next year in Chile. Ruben Ramos of the LA Galaxy, he scored the goal today that won the match. This was a quarterfinal game, and big time credit to the U.S. for finding a way on a day where, frankly, they weren't at their best. Knockout games can get weird. They can get crazy, especially in CONCACAF, as you guys know, but they found their way through it and got it done, and it is a massive amount of credit to them. They'll play in the semifinal, the winner of Panama and Canada. They are scoreless, 0-0 in the 39th minute there. Number two on the headlines, great day for the U.S. youth national teams. The U-23s, the Olympic men's team, advanced to the knockout rounds at the Olympics for the first time since 2000. A 3-0 win over Guinea this afternoon. They'll play Morocco in the quarterfinals on Friday at 9 a.m. in Paris. Kevin Paredes of Wolfsburg, he scored twice. Colorado's Georgi Mihailovic opened the scoring with a beautiful free kick. And look, I know there were a lot of questions about taking Mihailovic as an overage player as opposed to taking Diego Luna of RSL, who has been great this season. I've always loved Georgi Mihailovic's game, and I'm very happy to see him having the success that he had today. This is a top, top player. And yeah, it didn't work out for him in Europe, and he came back to Colorado, and he's doing very well there with a team that is in the top 10 in MLS right now, a team that you're not going to want to see when you get to the postseason at all in the Western Conference. And Mihailovic answered some of the critics with that free kick today. So the U.S. lost 3-0 in the opening game to France, who ended up winning the group. Since then, 7 goals, 5 different players, and they've had dominant first-half performances. 3 goals in the first 30 minutes against New Zealand on Saturday, 2 goals in the first 30 minutes today against Guinea. Patrick Schulte had 6 saves today as well, and he earned his first Olympic shutout. Great performance from the men's Olympic team. That leads us to number 3 on the headlines, the U.S. women's national team. They've already advanced to the knockout round at the Olympics. They conclude group stage play tomorrow at 1 p.m., where they'll face Australia. Here's Emma Hayes speaking to the media in France ahead of the match about the challenge that they will face against Australia.
These are the games where, you know, for sure, our one game at a time method is something that sticks. They're a team that need a point to qualify. They're a team, those defensive organisation, regardless of the goals they've conceded, you know, a lot have been in transition. They're very organised, they're very compact, very disciplined. In attack, they got different rotations, create different problems to the team. Unbelievable from set pieces. They really are best in the tournament, I think, with their deliverers. So they pose a massive threat and show what character they have to come from 5-2 down to win against Zambia. So this is a top, top game.
That Australia-Zambia game, yeah, came back from 5-2 down to win 6-5. That is the chaos that the Olympic soccer tournament has been on the men's and the women's sides. One other bit of U.S. women's national team news today, they will face England at Wembley Stadium in November in a big, big test. Really looking forward to that one. I've liked what we've seen from Emma Hayes's U.S. women's national team. And they only really have a few games under their belt. I think you're going to see this team continue to evolve, and it's going to be a fun watch. Really, really happy to see how well this team is playing, and can't wait for the knockout round games. The U.S. is already there in the Olympics, but a good test tomorrow against Australia. Number 4 on the headlines tomorrow night at the Benz, Chelsea versus Club America. It's a friendly, it's an exhibition, but here's a few storylines to watch for in this one. On the Club America side, Las Águilas, they started the season in Mexico, 2 wins, 2 draws before the League's Cup break for them. They're going to enter that tournament at the knockout stage. They'll head to Chicago to face Aston Villa on Saturday. Their first League's Cup match in the knockout round will be August 9th. Not sure what the lineup is going to look like for Andre Jardine's group in this one. I think you'll see some rotation. I'd love to see Henry Martin just running at Chelsea in this game tomorrow night at the Benz. Martin, 31 years old, just an incredible player. Still at this stage with Club America. One of those guys that maybe could have gone to Europe, probably should have if the right opportunity had presented itself. I don't know, maybe should have come to MLS to get that launching pad or to be successful in MLS. And he still could come to MLS, by the way, be a player that I'd love to see in the league. Just an incredible talent. So if he's on the field at any point tomorrow for Club America, you will enjoy it. Chelsea, there's some storylines here. They lost 4-1 to Celtic over the weekend at Notre Dame Stadium. They drew 2-2 with Wrexham last Thursday in California. Enzo Maresca spoke to the media today, and he said the players were still trying to adjust to his style and his tactics. He said, off the ball, we need to improve things. You can see sometimes we confuse when we need to play short and when we need to play a little bit longer, but that's part of the process. We maintained a high line, but when the ball is not under pressure, you need to drop. We're still confusing some things on the ball and off the ball. It's normal in this moment when we're trying to do something new. Okay. The noise is going to get louder the longer bad results are happening against teams like Celtic, no offense, and to Wrexham, again, no offense. And it'll be the same against Club America if they get a result against Chelsea. And again, no offense. Like, these are good teams, but Chelsea, the expectation is bigger. There's rumors swirling about Atletico Madrid being interested in Conor Gallagher. He has not rejoined the team after England's run at the Euros. Enzo Fernandez has, and according to Maresca and players who spoke to the media today, everything is copacetic with Enzo Fernandez after the chanting when Argentina won the Copa America final that sparked a whole lot of controversy and I think was interpreted in a variety of different ways worldwide. There were Chelsea players who were upset by it, Wesley Fofana being one, and it sounds like players led the process to make amends, and Enzo Fernandez will be welcomed back. He could factor into the game tomorrow. Kieran Dewsbury-Hall could also factor into the game tomorrow. Coming over from Leicester City, he has been injured and he will be available for the first time with Chelsea tomorrow. Could be a good introductory game for Renato Vega as well. Just played a little bit against Celtic. He made the move from FC Basel to join Chelsea. They're getting ready for their Premier League opener on August 18th, where they will face, I don't know, you know, just a little team that is the defending champions, Manchester City. Pressure's on for Enzo Maresca and Chelsea. We'll see how they handle it tomorrow against Club America. Kickoff will be just after 7:30 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're going to finish up with three things that make me smile about the game. Number one, I mentioned it earlier, Atlanta United 2 had the opportunity to take the trip over to Huntsville, and seeing four 16-year-olds, Caden Moore and Dominic Chongqui, started and went the full 90. Cooper Sanchez came into the match and added a lot in the midfield as well. This was a very strong performance by Atlanta United 2, and to see them do this with young players on the field in those key moments late, especially on that back line with Moore and Chongqui, really impressive. Number two, seeing MLS clubs do so well in Leagues Cup so far against the Liga MX sides, that's going to change once you get to the knockout rounds, and don't freak out about the narratives twisting, but it's been super successful, and you got two more wins tonight, at least one in the books and one on deck. Montreal beat Atletico San Luis earlier this evening, and Austin is leading Monterrey right now in the 85th minute, 2-0. Really successful start to the tournament for the MLS sides. And number three, I talked about the U.S. Women's National Team. This front three, and it's fitting that they are in the front three on the 3-4-3 here on AST, Sophia Smith, Trinity Rodman, Mallory Swanson, they are absolutely killing it at the Olympics. That's a group with a ton of talent. That's a group with a ton of character, a ton of chemistry as well. They're good friends, and it shows on the field. Rodman is pulling the strings and is so dangerous. And Mallory Swanson, now you see what the U.S. Women's National Team missed at the last World Cup when she was out injured. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Got a double dose of live soccer this weekend on 92.9 The Game. Saturday night, Atlanta United 2 hosting New England and Kennesaw. Pre-game coverage starts at 8 o'clock. Sunday, Atlanta United, they're either advancing to the knockout rounds of the League's Cup or crashing out of the tournament as they host Santos Laguna of Liga MX. Pre-game coverage starts at 3 o'clock on Sunday. AST will be back to talk about all of that and more next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Adios, everybody.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.